I'll tell you. Part of this is unfortunate. I did not know what the model was when I handicapped this race, and I have not changed. I don't think that's intellectually honest to go back and make some changes like that. So I did not know that it didn't fit the model. That is absolutely correct. But
the fact that it finished in the money in its last race, even though it was an allowance race at Golden Gate for $19,000,
I don't think there's a right and a wrong. I bought his argument, and I used it as my fifth horse, with a note to myself, and this is not my original racing form because I'm never this neat. I have a note scribbled in the margin, place only, ? Maybe. I didn't like this horse, but I always put five in for my model. And if you read the Brohammer model book, it'll tell you why you do that. But I always have five in. This was the fifth horse that I added. If you want to leave him out, leave her out, you have not made a mistake, I don't think. But I just needed a fifth horse, and this was my fifth one. One of the things you want to do when you put a horse like this in, if after you get done making the adjustments and all that, if this horse suddenly starts looking pretty good to you, remember why it's there. Remember that this is not a win contender. You have already eliminated this horse from winning. Even if it comes out 1-1-1 on your printout, you're not going to bet it to win. That's a mistake that's so easy to make. You'll say, well, I'll just throw this one in to see how it looks on the computer. I'll throw one more in just to see how it comes out. Who's done that? And then all of a sudden, you're tied into those numbers. You're locked into those 1-1-1s, and you've forgotten that that's a let's see how it comes out horse. And you're off betting a horse that at first glance you eliminated. You have to, and in my case, I have almost no memory. I really have a very, very poor memory for this kind of thing. I write copious notes, and I just do it right in the margin of or right on top of the horse. I write them all over my racing form. Jim Bradshaw says, you know, my racing form looks like a chicken walked on it. It's just covered with stuff. But and I do it in two or three colors because I have learned that if I don't do that, I'll forget this kind of stuff. So you just have to kind of learn yourself as well as learn how to handicap. Okay, what line would you, if you're going to use Veronica, what line would you use? Okay, I agree with you there. I don't see any reason to go past that last one. Yes?
I went back to the second one because that seemed to be a closer class of race. And the variant on that sloppy track was zero.
Oh, I see. Okay, you're probably not wrong there. Again, telling yourself, I just didn't see any reason to forgive the last one, and I think the last one fits its pattern a little better than the one before. The one before was only beaten five lengths at the first call, and if you look, its normal pattern is much closer to 15 than it is to 5. So I'm looking not for the best race for this horse, but for the most representative. And I just felt the last represented it a little better. You're not wrong.
No, I can see the pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
I went way back, and I took the 14 December 86 race at Hollywood. The reason I did that is it fits my projected pace for the day, which is 46-1-11. This race was run at 46-1-11-2.
I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. I don't think there is a right and wrong with pace line selection. Going back to December has its problems. And this horse, if you look at the O's and pluses here, this horse is coming off three bad races, a ship up north, two class levels down, and it earns a plus, a kind of marginal plus there.
That is, by going back to that December race, you blocked, which one are you talking about now?
14 December.
See, you locked yourself into a one-turn mile, which is an entirely different race.
Yeah.
And to me, you have to say that that horse, you're looking for a representative horse. Horses, as Howard has pointed out over and over and over again, horses aren't motorcycles. They don't run the same every time. They have performance peaks and valleys like everyone else. Going back 3 and 4 months is not against any rules, but if you can avoid it, it's probably not a good idea because it may not be the same horse. It may not be running the same way. It could, for all you know, it's in a different barn, different trainer. I just prefer, unless there's a very good reason to go back, not to.
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
That is, I personally think you would be limited by the January 25th race at max. And the reason for that is that if you go beyond that, you're into a different class level also on this horse. That horse took forever. In fact, it's 254. God knows how many of those were just trying to get out of the nominees of wands. And today's conditions are nominees of twos. You have 3 representative races from his horse against nominees of twos.
And somewhat contradistinction to that, when you made the comment along the road or somewhere, it's not really that much
difference. Look at your part-time chart. There actually is considerable difference between ones and twos. Yeah. And several experts.
It's always better to believe your numbers than it is to believe an expert. Truly, there are so many people. I had a fellow call me from New York to ask me questions about the Belmont one turn, or I guess it was the aqueduct, one turn mile and things like that. I have never seen aqueduct. I've never set foot on aqueduct. And he's expecting me to answer questions on that racetrack. I cut him off very quickly and said, "This is insanity. I've handicapped 12 races in aqueduct in my life. What are you talking about? I don't know anything about this." And but he insisted on an authority figure, so I gave him another name.
Yeah. And I have a nice point on that before I go away. And I think what Jim is really trying to say is that I think he's addressing a horse that's going through his or her conditions, and that the step from 1 to 2, those type of horses that are going to be good eventually can make those steps. There is a significant, especially in a horse like Veronica's Quest, that's tried forever to get out of that one. I think we're talking about different profiles as far as horses.
At every step, you're going to find horses that try and try and try and then fall into the claiming range. You're going to try see them at non-winners 1, non-winners 2, non-winners 3, classified. They keep trying and trying at that level until finally their owners say, "Listen, we got to earn some bread on this horse. Dump it into a claimer." This is the one I can't pronounce very well. Ramika. Thank you, Thomas.
Ermika.
Who makes Ermika a contender?
Why? On a relatively slow, steady variant, the time was still not that bad.
Well, even more than the time, this horse, anyone who doesn't make this horse a contender really, really needs to read Jim Quinn's book. This is the absolute paradigm of the non-winners too. The lightly raced horse that wins a maiden, comes back, tries once or twice at non-winners one, wins there, and is now stepping up. What horse in this whole field fits better than this one? This is it. This is the perfect one. You've got the perfect line right there. This track, this distance, very recent, a winning effort. Everything. This is the easiest horse we're going to do all day long. And if you don't have this as a contender and using the last line, you really need to rethink this, okay? Maybe Tiddlywinks is your game. Okay. Dancer.
Scratch.
Well,
I did their homework.
I see how it is. Okay, why do you not like To the Dancer anyway?
Outclass.
I the lady. Why don't you like it?
Outclass.
His
arm.
Tony wants a layoff.
Had run for a year.
Yeah. Has it run for a year?
This was a
new
early
pace.
Doesn't have the pace. Okay. Coming mostly from minor track.
all these are very legitimate reasons, and this what you're saying is that this horse doesn't fit this race. Match it up against Andrushka, and you can say this horse doesn't have a chance. I agree with you completely, and To the Dancer was easy out. My ace.
Question about that To the Dancer before we went on. When you're looking at allowance races coming from other tracks, can you depend on the amount of money of those allowance races as a valid comparison against allowance here?
Horses run at tracks for a lot of different reasons. One of the big reasons is it's because their owners live nearby. Not every owner is willing to ship his horse out of state where he can't see it run. Not every trainer has the capacity to move horses around. This horse may very well have been sold. You know it was claimed when it moved here from Garden State. Sometimes horses stay at a minor or a less profitable track for reasons other than quality. But generally, you can, I think, kind of look at the track class more than the amount of purse. Because if all that's available in, if you want to race in Oklahoma and Blue Ribbon Downs is all you got, and you want to see your horse race, well, you're going to take Blue Ribbon Downs purse. So I don't pay that much attention to the purse value as much as I do sort of the level of the class of the track. Tom, do you use purse value at all?
As far as To the Dancer, that's a hard question to answer. You just have to learn what levels can shift back and forth. I'm not big on fairgrounds horses running in Southern California, just from experience. They don't win a whole lot. But as far as To the Dancer, who really ran a big race in here today, but nevertheless, she would just bother me as, here's a horse that had run in the Devonna Dale against Tiffany Last. Now, the Devonna Dale can't be a huge race, but Tiffany Last was last year's Kentucky Oaks winner. She ran against her twice, and she split the field one time. Two races later, she's running for $40,000 in a climbing race at Garden State, and she's not seen for years. So I would just summarily dismiss her. She almost won the race, and be commended probably because she's in the hands of an awfully good trainer. But just that move into a climbing race after two races earlier, being up against Tiffany's Lap, that has stopped me from playing that horse in a bit. She almost won, so I'm almost completely wrong there.
Well, don't worry. Had she, you'd have never seen this race. High ace.
Contender.
Anyone feel high ace is not a contender? You're not fond of high ace. Which, all right, those that make it a contender, what line do you use?
I hear
a second. I hear a third. Does everyone agree? And we had some folks here from Northern California and out of state yesterday that weren't real familiar with the 6.5 furlong downhill. But at Santa Anita, that's a very unique race, if there's anyone here today that's not familiar with it. And I think we can pretty well agree that is not a representative race. If I never use those races if I can avoid it. Not a rule, if I can avoid it. Sometimes you can't avoid it and you gotta use it.
Does everybody really understand what? Yeah, because the fractions are so fast, just artificially fast.
Yeah. And it throws your early late off. It really does. It does a lot of strange things. We're gonna do a 6.5 furlong later on. So we'll get to that.
So if there's a mile race and in the past performances there's only 6.5 and 6, you'd rather use 6.
Probably. If there were a 6 furlong turf and a 6.5 furlong turf.
Face a mile race and
a mile dirt.
Uh-huh.
And your choices are 6.5 and 6.
So this is
not a 6.5 furlong race. This is a 6.5 furlong down the hill at Santa Anita on the turf. A very specialized race.
That's the only one you're talking about, 6.5 turf.
Right. Only that one special race. It's at Santa Anita, and it's only run at Santa Anita. It's a very unique race, and I'll talk more about it when we do the 8th race later on. Okay, so it looks like it comes down to the second and the third pace lines. Let's hear it for the second. Let's hear it for the third.
Yes.
Why?
Distance.
Distance. Why? Anyone else? The pace matches up well.
Because we really want a predictive pace line. Now, I will tell you that I also used the January 23rd line, three back. And the reason I have no problem at all going by that 6.5 furlong race. I mean, bingo. That's a gimme as far as an excuse goes. The February 11 line, it's a very even race. And since I only have to go back another couple weeks to get the same track, approximately the same distance, and about the same class, I see no reason. This is a non-winner's one race, and you can pretty well just figure that out by looking at this. You can see this horse's entire record. You see the maiden win. What's the next logical step? Non-winner's one. It's tried three times. It won, and it moved up. Now, this horse is another one that fits just as well as Waimika here. It's done exactly what Y did. It just did it on a little strange surface, so I'm not quite as enthusiastic about this horse as I am about the other one. But that's certainly a very good race. And knowing what we know now, that loss of 6.5 lengths in the final eight shouldn't be quite such a bother now because of the fact that we know this track is going very early.
Well, too, it's not so much that the horse lost that much ground, but that one ran away from the rest of the field.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know if the third horse was back 10 lengths or back ahead. Without looking at a chart, you can't say if that horse ran away. We know that it ran away from Ace High, but we don't know what the rest of the field did. And we don't know if Ace High stopped, Tom can probably tell you what Fashion Book does, but I can make a bet in the third, and by the fifth race, forgotten the names of the horses that I bet on. I'm very frank about that. I have very little memory. And so I don't know what Fashion Book is, a great horse, or, you know, won the Derby last year, or what. Just, you know, it's just...
She's okay.
So, but...
This horse ought to be ashamed of herself, though, to let a horse pull 7 lengths away after a 1:12 2.75.
And we'll get to them. But what we're looking for now is a representative pace line. And that's really as far as this whole class is supposed to go. Once we have the representative pace line, we're supposed to be done. We'll take it the extra step, but...
What do you feel if... I chose the second race back.
Okay.
Good choice.
You're absolutely wrong.
And you deserve to be drummed out of the core. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, I was looking for some comment. Number one, the reason
As I said, why not go back in the same form cycle, the same class, the same track, only one race, 3 weeks on a normal return cycle here, and even the same odds, and get a route instead of having to do that sprint to route adjustment, which is accurate but still artificial. And whenever I have a choice between making an adjustment and choosing a line that allows me to not make an adjustment, I'd rather not make the adjustment. I don't... you can also say, well, it's a fast track today. It won't die quite as much. I'll use the beaten lengths at the stretch call. And there are people that make that kind of judgments all the time, and they play with these numbers. And I just don't like to do that. If the horse is beaten 7, I put the 7 in.
So let me ask you this. Had that route been...
If that route
had been 6 months further, I might not have used it. If. Howard had a tirade yesterday about that, about hypothetical.
You're getting ahead of yourself. You're going to do that in the very next week. You're going to do that very same thing. He's going to address that question in just a moment. Exactly that question.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I am.
Mm-hmm. I just want to comment. Why would you pick the worst finish in this form cycle, this position? Why would you pick the fifth?
The only route.
Finish!
I'm looking for how this horse handles a route of ground.
No, I have no problem with selection. I made the same selection. I was talking to him. I was asking him, why would he pick the worst finish in this cycle when you've got a chance. Don't pick the worst.
That's not really the worst finish. I mean, you can. He was only 3¾ lengths.
It's the only time he runs well and he declines.
Mm-hmm.
He decelerates badly.
The reason I picked that pace line, Dick, is because to me it's more representative from his last race of how he'll run today. To me it's more representative than the third race track. And if we go back to trying to pick how he's going to run today.
Well, that's...
Okay.
I offer a counter argument.
Okay.
All right. Now, here's a horse with no experience routing except that one try.
Right.
Look at the race on January 2nd. Look at the fractions on January 2nd. 21-2, 44-4. This horse is definitely a sprinter because she'll keep up with that kind of fraction. Right.
Okay.
So now she gets an opportunity to stretch out.
Right.
Look what she did on the stretch out. She crawled. Now they move her back into a sprint, and she repeats the same race practically that she ran on January 2nd. Fractions are basically the same. She's up close, early. Now you're going to get a chance to see her stretch out after that race, much as she stretched out after the other one. You probably have, just by looking at that, I think a reasonable conclusion here is that you've got a horse that just kind of resists being handled, being ridden.
Well, okay.
All right, let me say something. Whoever, when she stretched out before, whoever handicapped the race on the 23rd of January used the race on January 2nd, and she projected lightning fast early on, and she didn't produce. What makes us think that she would produce now after the past race?
Okay, number one, it appears that you're right. There's no question there was a change, but she went from De La Housie to Pinkard. Okay.
Class A to Class A. Class A to Class A.
Where in the manuals are jockeys mentioned?
You guys want to something changed there. It could be the jockey. And maybe, so the trainer, so Larry says to Pink Eye, we've got to rate this horse, turn himself up and be gone at 3:40. Could have screwed the whole thing up. So he runs a pretty fast race on the 11th, and he runs a pretty damn fast race on the 20th. We have a track that is favoring speed. The horse could go out and nobody can touch her.
Possibly.
That's the way I looked at it.
Okay, except possibly is big here. You've got some concrete evidence on paper here if you use the third race back. That's what she actually did.
Yeah.
All right, so we're not saying she could have. And follow that through. If you want to stay with your rider switches for a moment, all of a sudden now she switches from a Class A jockey to a Class B.
Yeah,
that's a negative here.
That's true. Bayes has been pretty good for me.
It's a negative switch anytime you go from one of the top three or four or five riders to an all I'm trying to do is counter the argument, though.
Right.
We have it on paper one place. The other is pure speculation.
Right. Okay.
And I'll tell you something. Huey Maul's little cutouts, one of the things you may paste right over is the name of the jockey. I handicapped this race, and I cashed a very nice ticket on it. And without looking down, I can't tell you who was on my horse. I can't tell you who trained it. I can't tell you its breeding. I can't tell you any of that stuff. Because I literally am willing to handicap for a week at a stretch. And simply, my eyes just don't go there.
Well, we have bars on the building. Trainers and jockeys can't get in to burn us down.
I'm sorry.
You have any of those little booklets, Everything I Know About? This would be the perfect time to trot one of those out. We have made Ace High a contender, and I use third back. If you want to use second back, all I can say is the real test of this thing, try it. And try it not just on this race, but try it a dozen times, a lot of times, on races like this. Because you'll see this happening all the time. Horses are moving back, particularly fairly lightly raced horses like this. The trainer doesn't know if it's a sprinter or a router. Trainers are dumb. And it's moving here, going there, going there, going there. They put it on the turf. The horse wins on the turf, so naturally the first thing they do is they take it off the turf and put it back in a router. Hey, is this a bright move? But I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of respect for most trainers. And Larry Quinn gets right up there.
Consideration or taking into consideration the post position that they were in that race or what?
That's one of the things you may also block out is post position. I simply do not consider it. The one exception might be a very outside post in this 1 mile. In this case, there's only, 8 horses in the race. There's no bias at all, as far as I'm concerned. If the horse was coming from 11 or 12 and is not a closer, needs the early lead, then it has a legitimate excuse. And you can just kind of see that. Remember Tom was showing you how it sets up? Well, you can see it's going to be right into that turn. It's going to be forced out practically every time. But that would be about the only time I pay any attention to post. Mile on the dirt. And you all, by the way, you all did, I really thumped on this yesterday and I forgot to today. Did you all read this little boring box up here at the top, you know, the conditions? It's amazingly important, and it tells you some astoundingly useful information if you'll take the trouble to read it. And I say that as someone who handicapped for a year without ever bothering to read it. So Jim Quinn is responsible for an awful large improvement in my handicapping, and all because he taught me to read this box.
Yes? I was going to say, how much did it improve your handicapping?
14.863%. I don't know. How do you know? I just, yes, sir.
I'd like to know if you lend any credence after reading the Jim Quinn reference, the conditions of the race. Okay, then you have allowance races in this particular race from 16 to 34. Now, do you lend any credence, or do you measure the 16 against the 34 in any way?
No. We discussed that. The allowance 16 yet? Yeah. Well, that's from other tracks. There's no allowance 16.
All right. Say from the same track and the same horse, 26, 29.
Those are non-winners one.
Pardon?
Those are non-winners one. This is a non-winners two today. See, that's a big step up. Yes, I consider that a step up.
How do you know it's a non-winners one?
If you had a horse that just ran a maiden and you put it in, you can't tell. The answer is you can't tell. But it's the logical place for it to be. It's the only place where it could be. If you have a maiden horse that's not named Secretariat, are you going to stick it into a non-winners two when it fits a non-winners one?
Dick, are you saying that an allowance 26 indicates non-winners a one, where an allowance of
not so much the price as look at the line. It goes maiden. Allowance 29, allowance 26, allowance 27. Now, you can see that the horse has only won two lifetime. You've got its entire lifetime history spread out there for you. So after the maiden race, what do you think that allowance 29 is?
I'm getting that. But let's go back to my question. In a maiden race, you can give a decimal point 15 to difference between claiming.
Seriously.
Now, what I want to know, is there a difference between the purse value and allowance races? Is there a measurable difference? So you can
not in the purse value, but in the conditions. In other words, there's a measurable difference between non-winners 1, non-winners 2. I do not see any measurable difference between allowance 29 and allowance 26, because they're both the same horse. The reason they're a little less is probably because there's more sprinters than there are routers, so they put a little bigger purse on them to attract a few more. I mean, I'm just guessing on that. I have no idea.
He has a budget. You'll find the same value. If he's got a little money left over in February, he wants to track more people, give him $27,000. Now he's got to spread his budget and put down the $25,000.
There's not a measurable difference.
No, you just can't quantify it.
No,
yeah.
They're going to be at Hollywood Park in a few weeks. They don't pay the same money at Hollywood Park.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So you're going to look at that and say, well, it's easy to reason through the conditions on a horse. So it just like High Ace, for example, on the top of the page. If you look at the first two races, they're maiden races. She wins the maiden race, she goes into a non-winners of one. And then she goes into a sprint which pays less purse value than a comparable route for the same condition. And then she wins the non-winners of two down the hill. Non-winners one, now she's in a non-winners of two. You can reason back through these. In the case of C. Doobie Run, I happen to remember this horse in the specific circumstances, as a matter of fact. On March 3rd, she broke her maiden at Santa Anita last year. Her very next race, believe it or not, was in non-winners of two. That's why the bump up to 28,000 in a sprint, and then the dollar value drop in a route, because she stepped into non-winners of two, ran very well, and then they stretched her out, and she beat non-winners of one comfortably. But you can kind of reason through that $28,000 doesn't fit. It has to be a level higher, especially since it was a sprint at the same track.
Thank you.
But you can reason through this. I mean, just slow it down. Once in a while, you'll miss one because somebody was in a race they didn't belong. But I wouldn't worry about it.
If you really are a fanatic about it, you got to save charts.